Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey. Knock, knock, knock. Who's there? It's the Fashion Hags podcast. Hello.
Fashion Hags.
Hey.
Hi. Hi. Evan had to take a break from shit posting to stop the intro. He's just like, you know that gif of the cat just like, burp, burp, like, burp, burp.
That's Evan.
Keyboard cat?
Yeah, he's got those long arms.
Yes. That's how I often describe Evan. Is, you know the one with the long arms?
Long arms.
That's,
yeah,
that one. Yeah. That's him.
Yeah, he's got a hat on. He's always wearing black long arms.
Dark hair. That's him.
At least one article of black.
Hi, guys. It's the Fashion Hags. We're here back in the basement. It's cold. I brought my podcast socks because it's freezing.
To put on over your socks.
Over top of my regular socks. They're fuzzy and pink.
Like a chenille or they're something. Like, I don't know.
They're like that weird bathrobe.
Yes.
Style knit situation.
So soft.
But they're warm, so I will wear them.
Job done.
We're almost at warm times. Although it's supposed to fucking snow this week, but
not for crying out loud.
I mean, we don't need to talk about
April's supposed to be nice. April's usually nice. March can be a real shit mix.
March is a
April is nice.
March is a
it's
MS
everything.
Woman.
Yeah, it's a bit of everything.
You don't know what you're gonna get from March.
She's wear shorts one lady. Day, you bring your park out the next day.
You get a sunburn one day,
mm-hmm.
and then your car won't start because there's 6 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Welcome to March.
Lousy, smart.
She's a real bitch. But other than that, what's going on? What's happening?
Oh.
Abby, you just came back from a sweet, sweet sunny vacation.
Sweet getaway. Every spring break, my husband's family, we all go to Palm Springs or thereabouts. We've stayed in a few different places over the years. Different. I don't know if there's suburbs of Palm Springs. I don't know. It's all kind
Palm
of the
Desert?
Same.
Is that Palm the same
Desert,
thing?
Rancho Mirage,
Coachella.
La Quinta.
Did you go to Coachella?
No.
Is Indio. Coachella happening this time? Does it still happen?
It happens in like April or May or something. It happens early in the year because the weather's so nice.
April.
Right.
But we're usually, when we go in February, it's usually too early.
Right. But it was like a full-on family
Oh,
situation.
Sure. There was like, by the end of it, there was 8 adults and 7 children. Yes, 8 adults and 7 children.
I don't like those odds.
The youngest being my youngest, who's 15 months, and the oldest is 9.
So I guess you could pair them off and put like oldest with youngest, second oldest with second youngest,
yeah.
And everybody
well,
can
now,
just go play at the pool. Goodbye.
Now it's good because the oldest one, who's 9, and she's a fairly mature 9, like she's a very capable 9, 10. She'll be 10 this summer. She loves the baby.
Good.
And she knows, we've been training her for the past year or so. We're like, this is just, like, to know what she is capable of and then when she needs to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're never far.
Right.
But it's nice to not have to be, because my fucking kid, oh my God. This fucking baby.
She's walking now. Did we
she
talk about that?
She is walking,
we did, right?
Yes. She's also eating dirt and falling in the pool and climbing on things and wiping out and getting giant bruises on her forehead and swallowing things and cannot take her eyes off this baby for a second. She is just a beast.
Better than carrying her?
I love her dearly, but God, she's a lot. She's a lot happening. And literally,
like that when they get to that age and they start walking.
Some are more adventurous than others. I have friends who had kids, like you'd put them down, even if they could walk, they were just happy to just like chill.
Actually, that reminds me.
Or this one, like she's never satisfied where she, like she always has to be higher. She has to be on something.
I was going to say, my nephew, Jack, Leslie sent me a photo. My sister's name is Leslie. She sent me a photo of Jack standing. She put him down for, you know, 2/3 of a second to, you know, pee or something.
Blow her nose, something.
And comes back and Jack is standing on top of the dining room table. And she just sends me a picture with the caption underneath, "This is my life now."
I walked in with her standing on the coffee table and Dave has walked in with her standing on the TV stand. Like it's a tiny, thin little
like the 4 inches of
she's
surface.
Climbed up onto it and is like banging on the TV with her disgusting little hands.
she sounds nice.
Oh my God. So literally, like, there was, she kept, and there's like, it's a, we rented a house, so it's not four babies. Nothing was childproofed.
Right. Yeah.
So the first day, I'm just running around lifting things off the ground and moving things and constantly like unplugging phone chargers that are just left dangling. Because grown up, my in-laws, they don't have babies. I don't know that Poppy will go over and put it in her mouth. Mm-hmm. So just unplug the phone chargers, put it on the counter.
You're moving the Fabergé eggs up on top of the fridge.
Oh my God. This giant, like, Dave posted a picture of this Coco Pelli style lamp. It's hideous. I wanted to, air quotes, blame it on the baby and move it away so I didn't have to fucking look at it because it was hideous. But it was also like pointy shards of metal. Like, she's yanking on the cord.
Put it on the clock.
Oh, man, I wanted to just move it out of my line of sight for the baby sick.
Yes, yes, yes.
And also hurt my eyes and my brain and my heart.
Can we just, for the record, stop it with the Coco Pelli.
That's enough. There's enough Coco Pelli in the world, please.
I feel like Coco Pelli is very white, so I don't know what it is.
Oh, it's
Coco
bullshit Pelli. Is what it is.
I think it's not white, but I think
white people
picked it up big time.
One of
Coco
them.
Coco Pelli, what do I say? Artisan?
Art?
Art? I don't know. I mean, I art is a
broad is a term.
Real, it's a real generous term.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Technically, like a Mexican or a Latin American, like, figure of music.
Where did Coco
Pelli
shit come from? That's what I'm going to Google.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Where's that Coco Pelli shit from?
Oh, the first thing that comes up is Navajo.
Oh, yeah,
there you go. I know it's big in the California and the Southwest. It was all over this
it's
house.
It's a fertility deity.
Yes. That's right. God, that's right.
Who has been venerated by some Native American cultures in the Southwestern United States.
Isn't there a...
And made into fucking hideous art by a bunch of white people.
Yeah. Isn't there a cafe named Coco Pelli?
There's a few in town. There's also one on the west side, too.
There's a hair salon.
Yeah. There's one on the west side, too. It's like a coffee shop or something.
When I'm feeling spendy.
Fertility.
Yeah.
But also, anyway, like, I posted on my Instagram story, which is gone by now, but I'm just like, I'm taking bets on when this baby will fall in the pool because guaranteed she is a matter of if. It's a matter of when and not if. And then she did. The next day. 1:52 p.m., I remember.
Yep.
And I was standing within arm's reach, and she just leaned back and fell in, and she, thank God she's buoyant. She sunk down and then popped right back up and scooped her up. She was totally fine. It's one of the benefits of having an adventurous child is that she doesn't spook easy.
Right, yeah. You know?
She didn't get shook.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
She's my firstborn would have been, like, freaked out for like a year.
Yeah.
Easily.
She'd still be talking.
Never would have gone to a pool ever again. Poppy does not
water.
Care. Yeah. Poppy did not care.
That second born.
She was
thing.
Back on that edge She's of the pool. Fine.
Yeah.
20 minutes later.
Yeah. You went on a bike ride. Tell me about it. You tagged me on your side. You're like, get me out of this house.
I've been telling Katie for years that I don't bike. I don't. No. And somebody else, like, Dave was asking, but when we started talking about having kids and stuff and about, like, taking the kids for bike rides, and I'm like, that will be your job. I don't bicycle. Abby does not bicycle. And then I realized that there are specific criteria or parameters that need to be in place for me to bike ride. Beautiful flat roads.
Mm-hmm. That'll do.
Perfect condition. Mm-hmm. Great weather. No traffic.
Oh,
because we were just in this little neighborhood. It wasn't even, like, there's a lot of, like, estates that are, like, fenced off or gated communities and stuff in Palm Springs, but we were just in a quiet neighborhood. So, like, and I went out, I actually did it twice. I went out once in the afternoon and then once, like, right at dusk. There was nobody around.
That's awesome.
So I was just like,
that would be a nice cruiser bike too.
Like, big seat, like, seven gears or something. Yeah. So there's nothing, just flipping around through it.
It's very leisurely.
Oh, it was great. That kind of scenario. And also the other parameter is get the fuck away from my kids. What do I need to do to not be in this house?
Oh, there's a bike here. I'll take it.
And I've had a few drinks, so I can't drive anywhere. Because there was some day drinking happening, which was I need to get through this afternoon. And the alcohol wasn't enough.
Right.
So I needed to get out of the house. And it's also really hot. So I'm like, I'm not going to walk to CVS. That's too far. Put a bike around the block. So it was good. Nice. And I just, like, zigzagged around. Put a podcast in one ear.
Oh, that's how you do.
Listen to Kyle Kinane on Stop Podcasting Yourself. It was great.
I know. My husband, we were kind of dicking around today. And it was a nice day. And it's supposed to not be nice for a while. And so, like, oh, we should go for a walk. Or we should go do this or that or whatever. And He's like, well, do you want to, because I usually bike over here to record.
Mm.
And he's like, oh, do you want to go for a bike ride? And I was like, unless you want to bike with me to Abby's, like, I don't really have time for a bike ride. And so then we sort of dicked around for another like 15 minutes. And then I was like, I don't actually have time anymore.
For anything,
but secretly, yeah. I was like, I don't want to go for a bike ride with you. I just want to put on a podcast. And I want to take my time and I want to bike and listen to a story without having to like worry engage. About what your deal is.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does listen nice. To the podcast, so it's fine. I love you if you hear this part, but you know how we do.
Yeah, it's fine. Well, I left my family to go listen to my husband on a podcast. So I don't know what I'm doing. But another thing I got to that was also very fun is that I got to drive a huge truck. A huge truck. It was a 4Runner. So it's not like a huge truck. But for somebody who's only, I've been driving, I don't know, 6 years? Not even, like 4 or 5 years.
Not even, yeah.
Before
Margot was born, right?
It was, I was doing my, Margot was a newborn. Margot was like 2 months old when I took my exam.
Yeah.
So I haven't been driving that long. And I've only ever really driven our car, which is a tiny little compact Subaru. It's so little and like the windows are tiny and it's super like zippy and like, so and like one time I was in the shop and I drove like a Hyundai sedan, like just whatever, generic bullshit. But my father-in-law got upgraded. He'd asked for like a RAV4 or something because we needed room for car seats and stuff and extra people in the back. And he ended up getting a 4Runner.
That's fun.
Oh boy, it was fun.
They're
oh,
fun.
Oh, man.
Especially and in those wide nice. American streets.
Oh, yeah. Like, everything is three lanes and a boulevard. There's so many. And Palm Springs is full of old people. So mm-hmm. No one's going fast. And the turn lanes, there's so many signs and lights. And, like, the speed limit's, like, 40. It's great. Like, there was, like, that's room so to, like, put my leg up, like, my left leg. Because it's an automatic. So I could, like, put my leg. And then, like, the satellite radio cranking, like, 90s hip-hop. Listening to the Wu-Tang as I go to Target.
On Backspin? Did you find the
yes,
Backspin?
Channel yes, 3.
Backspin is the best one.
It was so great.
You got to pre-program that shit right away. As soon as the kids are in, get it on
program. Except we were sharing it with my in-laws, too, and I was like, I was terrified.
Oh, you
got to
crank it. Just like, wait for them to turn that on.
Turn it to like the 60s on 6 for when my father-in-law gets
it. No, oh you're God. Doing it wrong. Crank it and wait for ODB to come on, and they yes. just get blasted out of the car.
Oh, my God.
Just go to the shop.
They
get
need
a couple
to know
of rims
MC Light is. I'm sorry. They need to get told.
I just had a vision of Dave's mom in her like Issey Miyake pleats please outfit, fucking it up.
Church lady outfit
with huge rims on the side of the 4Runner.
Yeah. Like oh. arm outside the window, just like
rolling.
Beyonce style.
Yeah.
Oh, so great. So that was a fun, and it was like a new one too. So it's so smooth and nice. And oh man, like I looked out the rearview mirror, I could see over all the cars behind me because you're up so high.
Isn't that nice?
And even when we came back, Mark was like, our car is so low. Because we have to like help the kid get into the car. She couldn't even climb up. My poor mother-in-law had to like grunt every time she had to get in or out of this fucking truck. Because she's a little thing.
There's no pencil skirts when you own a 4Runner.
No.
Unless there's a step.
Yeah, someone, you gotta like have gingerly. A person to pull the step down and then give you the hand so you can step yes. up into your seat. That's this, baller
this is gonna,
shit.
This is gonna be a tale from the marshlands.
From the country?
Yeah, from the
from
country.
The marshlands.
From Evan's countryside.
I remember when my cousin Chelsea graduated from high school, I helped her with her whole grad look. We went shopping twice for the dress. We picked the tiara. We picked the shoes. We picked the makeup. We did the whole deal. And her date, his uncle was like a long haul trucker. So he borrowed the semi truck.
The Peterbilt.
The Peterbilt to drive her down the road.
To prom.
To prom.
Was there a trailer on the back or was it just the
No, it was just the cab? It was just the
just
cab.
The truck, sure.
And
oh my God.
I remember like boosting her in her like gigantic silver tulle evening
like,
gown.
Gypsy wedding style when they're trying to get in the truck to get to the hall.
Yeah, and yeah. then it's like,
jam
it's like
the dress
jamming the tulle into that little door that's not meant like it's not this
for
is
a ball gown.
This is not like a limo, which is like designed for
yes, yes,
like, space. A special yes, event yes, for yes. a voluminous garment. But yeah.
Oh my God.
There you go, a tale from the country.
I love
beautiful.
It.
Beautiful.
Ugh.
It was a proud moment, I'm sure.
It was so fun. And it was like 45 degrees outside. It was like so hot.
Yikes.
Yeah.
What's going on with you?
Did I talk about my skating yet?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Have you done a waltz jump yet?
I have done a waltz jump. Oh. I'm actually like progressing pretty well.
I saw you do a little flippy thingy.
I did a jump.
Have you done a sow cow? Are they the ones that have like you do the one edge and then the other edge? You start one direction and then you go to the other direction?
Yeah, you start on the outside edge of 1 foot, then you jump off of the outside edge of another foot.
Right, right.
Which is fucked up. Like it's asking to give you like knee problems for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever do a sow cow.
But I've been skating like pretty much once a week since the beginning of January.
Nice.
And my friend Sarah Sacco is teaching me like very casually how to do the shit that I've always wanted to do for my entire life. Mm-hmm. Literally my entire life. When I was probably 6 or 7, I took CanSkate, which is this program in Canada that basically just gives you getting kids on the ice.
Oh, you gotta get those ribbons.
You know, it's about that.
Katie's well versed.
The national agenda of Canada to create hockey players and figure skaters.
Yep.
Well, surprise, I was more suited to be a figure skater, but my parents.
Weird.
Right. No.
Never would have guessed it.
Skinny little me with like buckets of grace and poise.
Sass to spare. Plus all the outfits you need. The shoulders on a hockey uniform.
That ain't going to cut it. No.
It would, mm-hmm. No.
Those shorts? Mm-mm.
No. You got to tape yourself? I think so.
Absolutely not.
Well, that's exciting. You finally get to do it now.
Yeah, I'm finally doing it. It's so much fun. And last week I went by myself because the people I usually go with had other plans.
Shit to do, sure.
One person was sick, one person had to work, blah, 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 blah. So I was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to go by myself and you can like listen to your own music.
Just
skate around. And there's these two gentlemen who are there every week. They're these older Asian gentlemen. And they're fucking amazing. They just, they're like jumping.
Just
they're
at the community rink, dominating.
Just like fucking it up, like doing sit spins, the most beautiful footwork, like the craziest shit. Like
amazing.
Like toe loops, like axles, like all the shit. And I was skating around just like doing the drills that you do, like working your edges and like cross cuts and like warming up and all that stuff. And one of them came up to me and he was like, are those rental skates? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I just do this for fun. And he's like, well, I think you should buy your own skates because they're just gonna inhibit your progress.
Oh.
And I was like,
you're making progress.
You think that I am you think that I need to make progress?
You could be making more progress.
I could be making more progress.
Because I already am making some despite these rental skates.
Yeah. Because like the toe pick on like rental skates usually is only 6 prongs and then they shave the 7th one off because it usually fucks people up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Toe pick.
But the 7th one is what you need to do a lot
to
of
do steps.
Jumps.
We got to go to like Cheapskates or some like used place.
Yeah.
Get yourself a pair.
I don't even need black boots. I'd be fine with white boots. I've been wearing white boots.
You could work that.
For like 2 months, 2 or 3 months
now.
Get
the pink ones.
I wouldn't mind a nude boot, actually.
I think
a nude boot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. Purse first,
nude boot. Yeah. Just to like stand out at the rink, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's so fun because there's these like big, burly, like athletic dudes learning how to skate in hockey skates. So they're just like knobbly kneed, holding on to like pylons and like
the little frames. Yeah.
And then there's just me flying by, just like cross cut, cross cut, cross cut. And waltz
amazing.
Jump. And
amazing. Spins.
And spins. And I'm popping all my spins because I need to work on my core, but.
I love doing spins. Oh, man.
Did you skate?
Like recreationally.
Yeah.
Like when I grew up in Quebec, there is. It actually was super rad. First of all, there's Quebec, so everything's frozen for at least 6 months of the year. So there was ample opportunity to skate. Mm-hmm. But I lived by a river, and the city would plow like 5 kilometers.
Oh, wow.
Every winter with 2 lanes, a big boulevard in the middle for pedestrians, and the outside was for cross-country skiers and sledders and all sorts of stuff. And then all the restaurants on this river would have stairs down to the ice.
Oh, cool. So you could just skate to the pub or something?
And then they'd put like rubber carpet down in the restaurants and you just go up the stairs and like go to the restaurant in your skates.
That's so awesome.
And get hot chocolate and poutine and whatever.
Oh.
So we just do it like for fun because my dad grew up skating and stuff because he grew up in like Calgary and Ontario. So mm-hmm. he just skated all the time. And I remember having like little wooden chairs, pushing him around, getting the dog. It's Quebec, so it's like minus 40.
Yeah.
You're still going out. Yeah. You're all bundled up. It was super fun. It was just like everybody doing their own thing. And it was kilometers. So you could potentially do like 10 kilometers.
That's awesome.
It was so fun. But we moved away when I was like 12 and I haven't really done it since. But it was never anything fancy or anything. It's like just like going in a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great.
Spins are fun. They're hard.
Yeah.
They're hard to like do properly.
Mm-hmm.
Believe
they're
it
not
or
hard
not.
To do badly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're fun and you spin out of control and you make.
And then you hurt yourself and stuff.
I've fallen more doing spins on 2 feet than jumping in the air and landing on 1 foot.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, that was the nice thing about the river is that there's snow everywhere. So you just like aimed for a snowbank.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It was, you weren't in a rink where you had to like hit a wall or wipe out.
Right.
And you just like aim yourself yeah. for the snowbank and just land. It worked out.
Well, it's good.
That oh, man.
So you maybe should come one skating day. One day, Katie.
Maybe I'll bring my skates back. My skates are at home. I don't have them here.
It's like $10 all in, rental and 2 hours of skating.
Oh, shit. All right. Mm. Are all the rentals like the old lace-up?
They're like
thin, white leather boots?
Skinny, thin leather boots? White
no,
leather boots?
Like they're like
legit
like bona fide boots, like the same boots as my friend Sarah.
Okay.
Who was a competitive skater.
Sweet.
Yeah. She's like, if you were wearing like plastic boots, I wouldn't be teaching you anything right now.
I remember the plastic, when they came out in the 90s, I remember those. I wanted a pair so bad because like, everybody had them. They were cool and new.
Mm-hmm. With like the rollerblade, like click, 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 click.
Yeah. Yeah.
Click,
click. Absolutely.
Like cut the fuck up out of your feet.
Oh, man.
So you don't stretch.
And they're cold. Like, because I was wearing them outside too, right? Like it's minus 30. Like it doesn't matter any pair of socks you got on.
No. Those are dumb.
We got hard and weird.
Come skating.
Okay.
We'll do something. We've never done anything active together
skating
except for walking.
Date.
Walking to look at clothes.
Yeah.
We've drank a bunch of pitchers of margaritas before. Does that count?
Yeah. Oh, we climbed a cliff at Abby's wedding, but we were all
yes,
shit-faced.
That's right. You barely remember it happening, but oh well.
I was about funny. 10 meters behind you as you were huffing it up a mountain in four-inch heels.
Well, I think we're going. Oh, no, we had to go up and down, yeah.
Because we went to go spy on them when they were taking their pictures.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Be the mountain goat.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh.
That's funny.
Well, Katie, what about you?
Well, two things. Speaking of the sports, I'll do my first thing first because it's just a real piss off.
Real pisser.
Just a real, But my computer cord...
Oh,
the other
God.
Day.
Died a terrible death.
It died a fiery death,
oh,
in
no!
fact. We were watching The Wire.
Thank God you were home.
Well, here, I don't want to think about it. But anyway, so we were watching The Wire and it had started to like come apart a little bit. And I was like,
as
oh,
they
shit,
do.
I got to get on this. But it hadn't like frayed out completely.
Yeah.
Or at least not that I hadn't really noticed. I noticed that it was not in good shape.
Yes.
But I didn't have any electrical tape. So I was like, okay, I'll go get some electrical tape and repair it. And it'll buy me a few more months,
yeah.
whatever. And so then we're sitting there watching The Wire. And I sort of nudged the cable just sort of underneath our computer or our TV stand, just because we hook it up through my computer. Mm. And I sort of just nudged it. And it was like a little spark came out. And I was
oopsie.
Like,
that's not supposed to happen.
Oh. And then I was like, I'm not gonna say anything right now because like,
what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
Just don't touch it. We'll just it'll
don't
be,
look at it.
It'll be fine.
Don't touch it.
Probably not good advice. I'm sure my dad is like, what are you thinking, Dad? I'm sorry, but it was. I'll just put it in a little box.
Yeah.
We'll put that little box away, and then I'll come back to that little box.
You won't think about it for a while, and it's fine.
After the episode,
yeah.
It was really The Wire. It's so good.
Come on. One of the best TV shows.
McNulty.
Ever.
He fell off the wagon again.
Oh, McNulty.
Anyway. So then, after that episode is done, like, ready to go to bed, I was like, so I think I need to get my cable fixed.
Replaced or
it,
whatever,
like,
sure.
A little spark came out when I moved the cable. Mm. And Chris is like, what? And he goes over and he just goes and like lifts it. And it like... like shoots out sparks like in a dangerous way. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, just unplug it. Because when he pulled it out, it like sparked and fried and my computer was like, meow, and powered right down. And I was like, oh my God.
God.
If my computer's dead,
you're fucked.
I'm beyond fucked.
Yeah.
So I yelled at him. I was like, why didn't you just unplug it? Why are you fucking with the flaming wires? Just unplug it. Anyway, computer's fine. Oh, no worries. God. It booted back up. It's fine. It's no problem. But that cord, after that second one, it was like, spring, like all the wires are out. Oh, it is boy. Like, oh, this is a dangerous, this that is a fire hazard.
No good.
This is going to start a fire.
Ding dong, the bitch is dead.
Oh, that bitch is dead. So I had to go, I was like, how much do you think a new cable is going to cost? And Chris is like, somewhere between like $20 and $80. And I was like, it's going to be $100 for sure.
It's going to be $130 bucks or something for sure.
And it was. It was $100. Oh my God. Which I was not.
Not great. That's something you want to spend 100 something bucks on.
And it's still
overheats. My house burning down.
Or not having a computer.
That little square box.
That one's not, it's not so bad. My computer gets real warm now.
Yeah.
I have had that computer for like 8 years though. I bought it when I moved to Vancouver, which is a long time ago. Anyway, but the other thing I was going to say, speaking of sports, is about 2.5 blocks away from our apartment, there's these open public basketball nets. So Chris and I have gone and played basketball a handful of times. The two of us, him and I, not playing like one-on-one because we're...
That's not what you're there for.
He's much better and much taller than me. One-on-one would be an embarrassment.
A game.
It would be not fun. But... I'm
throw
like,
it around and I'm, sure.
I am so good at basketball, you guys. I picture me, Kate. I'm like 6'1".
At least, sure.
Right.
On a good day.
6'1".
On a bad day.
Tall, slim, long, athletic legs. Just precision, just dunk after dunk air after
ball
dunk.
Yeah, sure.
That's
is airball good or bad? I don't even know.
I don't think airball is
air
not
ball
good.
Is
there not good? Swoosh? So is that good?
Swoosh? I'm swooshing and laying up like you wouldn't believe.
Awesome.
That's not true. That's not true. I'm 5'3" on a good day. It is painful to watch. There's other people who come and like practice who are like on a university team.
So rec
or,
league that they're super serious about or something, sure.
And we just like shoot from the foul line. And we played 21, so you play... You basically shoot from the foul line, and if you get it from the foul line, it's 2 points. And if you don't get it, then the other person has to get the rebound, and if they get the rebound, it's 1 point.
Okay.
And you just go to 20 points, 21. Essentially.
Yeah.
And it's, you guys, it's really embarrassing. It's really bad. Really bad at it. But it is so much better than, like, going to the gym.
Yeah.
Or basically going to the gym.
Yeah.
It's so much more fun. Like, I have such a better time just going out and, like, dicking around and, like, working up a sweat and having an activity than just,
using
like...
your brain.
Yeah, and, like, coordination, and you're outside, and it's so much fun. I'm so, so bad at it. My friend Adam, we told him that we've been playing, and he's like, why didn't you guys invite me? I'm like, you're, like, 6'4", first of all, and you would be good. We don't want you around.
We need your kind.
What do we... No, we can just... dick around and laugh at each other and, you know, airball after airball after
call
airball.
Call your girl with a broken foot. That's the kind of person we want.
Yes. Get her on the sidelines. That's what I want. But it's been really fun, and it's like trying to be more active and like find a thing that I like doing that's
so
not,
you're motivated to do.
Yeah. Because I don't, running is not for me.
Sure.
I don't think it's good for my body either, but.
Yeah, well.
But this is fun. So
I found on Tuesday nights at 8:30 there is Sex and the City on, so I go to the elliptical at 8:30 at night and watch an episode of Sex and the City, like get my half an hour in, and then I go shower, and
that's pretty good.
That I could do. And then get a McFlurry on the way home,
just to balance things out.
That's,
perfect.
That's what works
need.
For me.
We came home and had cookies.
There you go.
I mean, it's all the same.
Oh, relative. That's awesome.
Yeah, so
and
I'll
it's close to your house
posted.
Too, so that's good too. So I don't have to go too far.
I'm going to call the WNBA and see if they're looking.
There's an opening.
Because I'm so tall and talented. I mean.
Got all these skills.
All the skills. I can throw it and I can bounce it.
And catch it sometimes.
And I can catch it. And I can jog in one spot.
You can bounce it a few times.
And I can pivot.
Pivot.
And I can eat the cookies afterwards.
I can reward yourself with cookies.
So that's me.
Beautiful. Oh, man.
So we're coming back to a thing that we...
Yes, down now to the real business
we
here.
We foolishly thought we could include in the last...
I mean, what were we thinking?
Come on, you think we'd learn our lesson, but nope.
We bit off so much more than we could chew on that, but we're excited about this episode. We're talking about the future of fashion, what we think or what people think, predictions.
What
are we
going to say about the future of fashion?
Yes. Sure. What's in the crystal ball?
What's everybody talking
about? Yeah. It doesn't have to be. Some of this is going to be based on information. Some of this will be pure
straight up bullshit. Yes.
Yeah.
Stuff of dreams.
Speculation, bullshit, tomfoolery.
Yes. Fascinating.
You know the deal by now. We're 60 episodes in.
I mean, you know what's what.
Yeah. But with that, we talked about the fashion of the red carpet briefly last week, but now I think we're going to try to take a wider view of what we think different parts of the, and we could potentially, like we said upstairs, cut this into different episodes in the future and talk about different parts of it, because there's so many, there's so many moving parts in the fashion industry, and each one of them is evolving, and some are evolving together, and some are not evolving at all, and we're trying to figure out what this, we're kind of in this weird growing pains time.
Let's hope so.
Here's at least hope.
Yeah,
and that
I feel
means
like,
progression, and that means improvement.
Yeah. Like, we're in, like, fashion puberty when it comes to the future.
We're still limited by the constraints of time and space, you know, that sort of thing.
And also, I think the growing pains thing is right, because we're in sort of round two of how the fashion industry sort of works. Mm-hmm. And it is not really working. Round one was basically everything up until fast fashion or even ready to wear it.
Yeah.
Where, like, you either made your own clothes, or you had your own clothes made, or you went to a tailor, but you weren't going necessarily to
a store and buying
and everything off the rack. So then when that started happening, still like 100 years ago, that changed how things are going. And then manufacturing has changed how that all works. And now we're in this second part of, like, where, at least from what I can see looking back at fashion history, it looks like we're coming out of this part where we've gotten to the extreme of that system.
Of output.
Yes.
And consumption. Yes. And then also the consumption of that.
So,
like, and that feeding off of each other, you don't, like, it's the chicken and the egg, like, which comes, like, is the demand there or the supply? That, like, it just feeds off itself and each other, right?
Yes. And all of the other sort of tertiary industries that have developed based on this sort of simple equation of, you need clothes.
We make clothes.
We make them and you buy them. That's a pretty basic situation. Yeah. Except now it's gone to the utmost extreme. And there are other industries now that survive on that.
Yes.
That are
on many levels.
Have nothing to do with the making and
of clothing.
And wearing clothing.
Yeah.
So we talked about it upstairs. And the way that I sort of looked at this, and again, we can, like, you know, turn this into five more episodes probably. But we sort of talked about, like, three sort of themes. One was the quote-unquote sales floor, like the buying and selling of clothes, like whether it's in person, whether it's in a brick-and-mortar store, whether it's online, whether it's mail order, like how is that going to work? The second thing was how clothes are made.
Like the manufacturing, production.
Yeah. And then the third thing was how clothes are worn and how they're used. So things like the technology behind, I mean, all the kinds of technology. Yeah. How
even,
if, they're,
even something like a Fitbit. It's a wearable piece of technology that interacts with you on multiple levels, and you use that information to then make choices in your life.
Yeah. Also, on the other side, not looking at the technology side, but maybe looking at, like, a throwback where if you're wearing clothes to last for 10 years, or are you wearing clothes to last for 10 weeks until they disintegrate, or you're tired of that trend and you buy something new.
Yeah.
Which is sort of where we're at right now. So there's, I mean, obviously there's a lot that we can.
And then marketing too, like what that's going to look
and
like.
Marketing,
these new landscapes we're looking at, which has to do with the buying and the selling, and then how those two interface and how you learn about brands and how they learn about their customer. Anyway, there's a bunch of stuff.
There's so much. I mean, it's.
And a lot of it is technology based, but a lot of it is just how humans are evolving and how our social.
And how humans are interacting with the advances in technology.
And each other.
For the better or the worse.
Yeah. Like, we could talk about, like, what trends look like too, which could be fun, but also that's a real shot in the dark. That's like the stuff of fancy.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's all. That's like I think it's going to be all about
yellow.
Poppies.
Yeah. Everyone will be wearing construction cones.
Yeah.
Hats.
Yeah.
I'm seeing corrugated cardboard everywhere. Bring back the beige. No, I don't think. I mean, that's, and it takes a while for those trends to sort of develop. You can't see much more than like maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
Ahead.
Five,
anyways.
Maybe.
Maybe. And yeah. Again, that has to
five,
do with
depending
the,
on the market.
The fabric.
If,
yeah.
If we're doing market research for like Walmart or Dean's, then I'm sure we can do 5 years. But if you're doing like market research for Vuitton or like a major fashion
label. Yeah, you're doing
label,
two, a year. Yeah.
Or a year.
By the way, can we just say R.I.P. Givenchy?
Oh, Hubert de Givenchy. Mm. One of the greats.
It's
so sad.
It's interesting that in the last couple of weeks, so many things have happened that have like disconnected the fashion industry from where
history.
It has been.
Yeah.
Givenchy passed away. And H&M is closing 150 stores.
Yeah. Also, Claire's is filing for bankruptcy.
Oh, Claire's. Where are you going to get your ears pierced by another teenager?
Wow, H&M is closing
150 stores.
H&M has taken quite a few missteps in the past few years. There's been a lot of PR disasters for them. And also, they are realizing their model is not sustainable.
Yay, it's happening.
Surprise, surprise.
Another side note, did you guys see this dumb bullshit that they did about public art?
Oh, God. This
whole
graffiti
thing.
That's another thing.
Dumb.
They picked the wrong people to piss off. Yeah.
But also good for them for realizing that they're being dicks about it and stepping back and saying, we will no longer be pursuing this.
Except that they are.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're still pursuing the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were. Oh.
No, they said they
assholes.
Are, but actually they. Turns out they're not.
Oh,
turns out
you can
send out a press release and not mean any
and
fucking
not mean
word.
A word of it. Yeah. If you guys are not up to speed, basically H&M is trying to pass a law in the States that legally allows anyone to take any public art and profit off of it. Specifically
graffiti.
Street art.
Specifically a guy named Revoke, who's who was a very famous graffiti artist. He's extremely well-known and very prolific in the graffiti community. In fact, it was Chris who told me about this. Mm-hmm. I didn't even see this on Business of Fashion. It was from his, like,
graffiti
art and illustrators sort of crew that he learned about this.
Interesting.
And so, talk about picking the wrong group to piss off, but they
don't give a fuck.
They don't give a fuck. Their whole deal is
fuck
the establishment.
It's anarchy. Yeah.
There are so many fuck H&M signs... Tons of stores in the States have just been riddled with spray paint. But apparently H&M is still not dropping the suit. So who knows? I mean, that might... By the time this podcast comes out, that might have changed. I'm not sure. But...
Oh, boy.
Anyway, H&M, come on.
I mean, they can fight as long as they want, but every day that they're fighting, they're losing a cool factor with their customer.
Yeah. Big time.
And I know they got a lot of money, but they're not breaking in the money like they used to. They should be counting their pennies a little bit smarter than spending millions of dollars on legal fees.
Well, it's like
I haven't bought anything from H&M.
I went in for the first time.
God. I buy kids stuff there because it's
makes
sense for kids stuff. But I don't think I've bought anything for myself in a while. As someone who was a former H&M addict, anytime I had any
like when
money,
we were in design school, like that was like the first time I had access to an
H&M. Sure, I remember when it first came in the city. Oh my God, I was crying. I was
and that's the thing that was lost about an H&M. It's like it became like a Walmart. You can go to any major city in the world and find one. And that's not rare anymore.
Nope.
There was something cool.
Not
cool.
And it's not cool. It's just like, it's manufactured cool, which is not cool.
No.
So here's
the antithesis of cool.
So here's a good tie-in to what we're talking about. How long do you think it'll be before, or do you think that this is something that is unique to H&M, or do you think this is going to be a trend for all of those big
retailers? Ripple.
I think so, right?
It's going to ripple.
Like what's going to happen with your Gaps, your Old Navies, your...
Mama, it's already happened to the Gap and Old Navy.
Right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Since Rana Plaza, a lot of shit's happened.
Yeah.
They've had to tighten it up a little bit and be more on top of it. There's still a lot of progress that needs to be made for their manufacturing to be a little more transparent and more responsible, but...
Yeah, for sure.
They've stepped up to the plate in a lot of ways.
So what's going to... Like, J. Crew, what's happening with J. Crew?
They're falling apart.
I mean, everybody is, right?
Yeah.
I really hope that people are paying attention to how this
Mind you, I got a sweet pair of J.Crew pants for $20 at Nordstrom Rack. So thanks. As long as they can.
They have my dream bathing suit at J.Crew, but not in store. You have to buy it online.
Oh, which is a crapshoot for bathing suits.
I mean, how can you buy a bathing suit online?
Bullshit. That's a thing. Like, it's difficult to merchandise bathing suits. That's why you don't always have a lot in stores. It doesn't look pretty. So in a store like J.Crew, which is making so much money on presentation and not actually on the product,
and the experience
then
of the stores,
do not want to have to like.
Figure out how to make that look good.
Figure out a way to make bathing suits look pretty.
The girl told me that only like 8 or 9 stores in the entire J. Crew community of all of the stores, only 8 or 9 of them actually
carry
the
Swimwear. Yeah. Interesting.
And it sure as hell isn't going to be Vancouver. It'll be like Miami.
Los Angeles
or LA or whatever. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Well, the thing is that with the future of the fast fashion is that people are demanding more of these companies. People are learning more about them, so then the company has to react to that and take that into consideration. They can't just operate and don't look behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they can't do that anymore. But on the other hand, the economic gaps between classes are only getting worse. So people need cheap clothes. People cannot afford to shop at even J. Crew or The Gap. They have to shop at Walmart. They have to shop at Target, like, because they cannot afford more than $9.99 for a shirt.
So I guess,
you know, so that need is still there.
Yeah, that's a symptom of the whole economic trend that's happening
which is a much bigger problem. And fast fashion has just been feeding off of that in the last 20 years as that disparity is growing and poor people are getting poorer and rich people are getting richer.
Yeah.
Right. So unfortunately, that part of the system isn't going away. The people needing affordable clothes is not going to go away. We just need to. I don't know how the industry is going to make that happen. You know,
to market it, to make it ethical,
to manufacture it, to pay the people.
Like that all comes into like an ethical kind of framework of how are you going to get your materials and pay the people to make it and distribute it ethically? Because like people want to say like want the ethical product, but most people can't afford ethical product. Because
absolutely.
Just the way the system is built right now, you cannot create an ethical product cheaply. That's just the way it
within
is.
The systems we have at the moment.
Yeah,
it is not
just the way the fashion industry and as a whole is set up.
Yeah,
and when the demand is so great, it really is still. I mean, it's shifting. Mm-hmm. My hope, secretly, always not secretly. I don't know why I would be whispering
you're
about.
You're keeping it.
Don't tell anyone.
Behind closed doors.
It's just between you and me and the wall.
You guys are telling.
No, my hope is like that. My only hope when Trump was elected, I mean, fuck that guy, but my only Trump was that he really talked about like bringing jobs back to the States.
Sure. Bringing manufacturing back to the States.
I really hoped it was a distant dream.
Sure.
It was a pinhole of light.
Just a smidgen. But all of that kind of stuff used to exist in the States. Like the New York was... Like New York
they
is
made
a
80%
capital.
Of the clothes for the entire country.
Like it's a capital for ridiculous. A reason. Because so much of stuff was made there. Because so much the factories existed
the
there.
Same the thing in Montreal.
Same in Montreal.
Yeah.
And then
it was
started
a giant
to come
port.
Back up in LA.
It was a giant manufacturing center. It was a giant distribution center. Like it was all done there.
Denim, any kind of denim, any kind of that heavyweight cotton. North Carolina is the capital of the world almost, or was
a giant
cotton.
Didn't the giant one just close this last in 2017 one of the big mills closed, didn't it? North Carolina,
yeah,
where like everybody gets their American made denim. Sorry.
Goodbye.
On one hand I'm sad, but on the other hand it's like that mill probably profited off of slavery, so you can fuck right off.
I mean, the complications of anytime you look at cotton manufacturing in the States world, is gonna be a kind of a, you know,
and that's
pulling your collar.
That's
kind
one
of
the problems about this ethical manufacturing thing is that you can pay the people to sew it together well and have that transparency. But where is that cotton from? Who is picking the cotton? Who is baling it? Who is manufacturing? Like those people are getting fucked.
Yeah.
That's the child labor. That's the fucking terrorist organizations funneling money in Afghanistan and stuff too, right?
There's some of that too, but I also think that that stuff is probably more highly regulated now than than the factory side of things, than the manufacturing.
True.
And I could be just talking about my ass. You guys, we don't have all of the information.
No, we do not. We definitely do not.
We've never claimed to have it.
No.
But
also,
I think,
we're 60 episodes deep, so you know where we come from most of the time.
Certainly, any kind of cotton that's being made in the States now is above board.
Yes.
It has a horrific history.
In the last 20 years or so, they've got, you know, it's pretty good.
Well, more than that, but yes, it's definitely been, it's not slavery anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slavery exists in the States in a whole different way now, but it doesn't exist in the cotton fields.
In that very specific context. Yeah.
So I think that side of things, because that's agriculture. So there's a different kind of regulation when you look at that. That's what's so weird about fashion is because it's
got a finger.
We have our hands in every honeypot.
It is so much more vast than just like going to the store and buying a shirt or like reading a magazine and liking that Chloe bag. Like there's so much more to it than that. So I think, again, hopefully on the manufacturing side of things, people will start to wise up. People already are starting to wise up more about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Rana Plaza is a big of a disaster as that was.
It was
hopefully
a huge catalyst.
Be the last time that happens.
Yeah.
And people will absolutely refuse to let it happen again.
Here's hope. Well, that's the thing too, is like you just said, the fingers in all the pots. On that, a few weeks ago, I talked about the Fashion Revolution podcast, and they talked about Who Made My Clothes and that sort of thing, and they went to Bangladesh or Cambodia, I forget which country, and they were talking about how the government is actively stopping people from unionizing, which would then better the working conditions and pay for all the unions, but the government doesn't want that because unions make everything complicated and then it becomes more expensive and then they lose all their contracts with all these international companies like Walmart because they are, quote, cheaper because they don't have unions. It's a whole clusterfuck. So that's a whole other, like, you're dealing with internet, like, foreign governments.
Yeah, this
you're
is
not
no
just
foreign
dealing,
policy.
Yeah, you're not just dealing with this one company who owns a factory in Bangladesh that you're dealing with. Your Gap is dealing with whatever. You're dealing with governments who actively are assassinating people and putting people in jail to stop this from happening.
You guys.
You know, it goes all the way to the top, you guys.
Oh, man.
It's funny when we try to talk about the future of fashion that we get pulled so far into the history of fashion.
Yeah.
We cannot talk about the future without reconciling. I hate that fucking word. Fuck reconciliation.
What's happened in the past?
What's happened
and how
in the
that
past and how
colors.
That's going to affect the way people need to proceed if they truly want to move forward in a good way.
Yeah, in a progressive, positive way. Yeah.
Because the population is only getting smarter.
But also bigger.
And that's the thing, I was talking about human population growth as a problem last episode, bringing it right back in.
Yeah.
Boy, oy, oy.
You know?
Oh, man. But then there's also talk of this as another way of looking at manufacturing, too, is machinery, technology. Like, I don't know. There's been talk in the past few years about sewing machines, but like sewing robots.
Right.
And how that is not a feasible option. You have to have a human behind a machine.
Yes. Yes.
Because just the nature of the manufacturing and the materials you're using, which is fabric and threads and things, you cannot have a robot sew things.
No.
Because it's not how sewing works. You need someone who can correct and foresee and feel and adjust instantly with experience. There's no way at this moment where we can program a robot to do that for us.
Yeah, you can't program a robot to iron a shirt.
No.
Right now. And
no.
Guess what?
They can't make a
Everything
t-shirt.
Everything that gets put into a factory gets ironed.
Gets pressed. Something as simple Everything. As a pair of track pants. A robot cannot sew a pair of track pants.
What if you... What
or
if
a
you,
t-shirt.
Like, in theory, what if you had a whole production line that was all run by robots? What if at the beginning your fabric gets laid out and they lay the marker wrong?
Yeah.
And then you put a whole round 5,000 pieces of something in and along the way,
all
of them are all wrong because the fabric was folded and the seam allowance was cut into the garment.
By the way, a marker, for the uninitiated, a marker is the long piece of paper that you lay on top of your fabric. It's like a blueprint for what you're going to cut out.
Yes, and has all the different pieces all laid out to maximize usage.
The most economical.
Yes, yeah. Use of the fabric. So you'll have the front pieces, the side pieces, the sleeves, the collars,
and they're all
whatever.
Lined up with the grain line. It's sort of a complicated...
It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. Yeah. Making a marker is extremely complicated. The concept of a marker is actually pretty simple.
Yes.
It's, it's just you lay out all the pattern pieces to maximize...
And they're all facing the right way, and they're all doing this, and they're all whatever.
But this
and
will be on a table that's 30 feet long.
And underneath that is like
and you're cutting
100 layers of fabric.
Yeah,
yeah, like 50 you're cutting blade. Like 2 feet of fabric.
Yeah, with a giant laser or a saw or something.
Yeah.
And even then, like, a person has, like, they do a lot. They can do cutting with, like, lasers and stuff because you can, like, if they get the lasers to scan all the layers, they can see if something is out of place or the edges aren't completely lined up, right? The lasers can do it. But the actual laying two pieces together, feeding it under the machine, making sure they're all caught, inserting labels, especially something like a knit that's so... amorphous and
weird.
Or a weird.
Silk chiffon or a charmeuse.
Sure. Yeah. It's like a piece of shirting or a pair of denim. Like you put it down, you sew it, it stays put. But something like a t-shirt is actually really hard to sew. It's one of the most simple garments out there, but it's really hard. It's really finicky. It's really loosey-goosey.
The fabric will curl, it'll...
Do you guys remember when Olivia was here? Olivia Hayward was talking about her trip to the factories in
Taiwan. Or China or something.
And
right?
It was... It wasn't even the sewing factories. It was the fabric mills.
Yes. We're
and like, she was talking about those long, long, long threads that they use, the yarn that they use to actually make the fabric. And if one of those tore, they would have to stop, go out to find where the tear was.
A person would have to go
A person would have
in,
to go tie it back
figure
up together.
Figure out which one it was. There's 8,000 threads. They have to figure out where it is.
I think the technology was such that it was
they
not
knew
hard
where
to
it
figure
was.
It was.
But you still have to grab the end, find it somewhere.
You still have to
figure out how hard you have to like rethread the whole fucking thing because it's not just coming out of one hole and going in another hole. Like it's through a whole bunch of shit.
It's
you
so
can't get a robot
short,
to do that.
You can't get a robot to do that. Yeah.
So all these things of technological advances on so many levels, there's still you still need a person.
Yeah, you,
you can make a you can let a robot make a car. You can let a robot make a whatever, pick potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. You have to have a person making the clothes.
Also, we should give people jobs anyways. Let's do that.
Yeah.
But the other thing I want to talk about too, sorry, I don't want to interrupt you if you wanted to jump
in. I was just
that.
Like, well, if the population is going to grow, we need to, these people need a way to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And not be paid two cents a day.
Exactly.
So guys, by the way, bring it back to North America. Let's get more factories back here. Employ some more people. Everybody needs to just raise their standards a little bit of what they can feasibly pay for a garment. There are so many thrift stores and so many used clothing places that there's more clothes now than there ever was ever at any point in history.
And that we need.
So let's do that. And then everybody just shift your expectations of what you should pay for a garment and just raise them up a smidge.
Yeah,
and then we can bring manufacturing.
I'm not talking
back.
$200 t-shirt. I'm talking 25 instead of 12.
Yeah. Yes, or six.
Yeah,
yeah. The other thing I was going to say, think of manufacturing, shifting gears away from the human side of things. But my, again, future. This is my future
forward thinking. Yes,
hopeful forward thinking is that because we have all of this clothes, all these clothes, and fabrics and blah blah blah, is finding a way to capitalize on that sort of dead stock. There's so much textile waste.
Oh, yes.
That how can we...
From every part of the...
Every step of the process. How can we capitalize on that and build some kind of system where we're reclaiming that, turning that into a commodity where we can reclaim that and use it for... I saw a thing a while ago. I forget where it was. It was probably a couple of years ago. But it was about... taking old cotton denim that has all been worn out, whatever, and basically shredding it down and using it as house insulation. Like those kinds of innovative ideas, we need way more of that. The problem, again, is you usually need, or so I've been led to believe, you need to separate the components. Mm. So if you have a poly cotton t-shirt, which everybody has 15.
Yep.
The polyester needs
or
to
jeans
be processed
with 4% spandex
separately
or whatever
than
right?
the cotton. So
yeah, and we're not there yet.
Yes, we need
that parts.
We need that technology to advance and figure itself out, or find a way to take all the polycottons, all the you know things with the spandex, and make them into something that we can use.
Because both polys are you know petroleum byproducts. You just melt them down. Spin them up again, theoretically.
Theoretically.
And just make more clothes. And the same thing with a cotton. It's like you break it down into a mulch, you re-spin it again, and you make another fat, you weave it into another, you know, like that's, in theory, both of those things are possible, but the actual mechanics of breaking the fibers down and sorting them and dyeing them or bleaching them or blah, 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 blah.
Or maybe you forget about turning it back into clothes. Maybe,
sure, you
maybe
it's dead as
a
cloth.
Maybe yeah. you use it as a filler in cement instead of concrete, so you have a lightweight, strong
sort of sawdust or whatever. Well,
I mean,
sure.
whatever. But
I don't
that
know. I'm not a construction worker.
I'm not a builder.
I'm not a
housemaker. We have concepts, not follow through. Yes. Here, yes, the fashion hags.
We are full of ideas, people,
not facts.
But that is my that's my future, fingers crossed, prediction is that we can capitalize and turn all of this essential waste that is flooding not only our own markets, but we just ship them overseas.
Yeah, hi Africa,
hi China, who's not buying our garbage anymore, by
yeah,
the way.
Thank God.
But well, also, I mean, who fucked. Knows? Like, are we fucked? Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's like, how can we make this happen?
Wait,
all of our technical engineers who are listening.
Oh, get guys, on it.
How can
scientists.
We do this?
Get
scientists.
On it. Come on, scientists. Will you talk briefly? You mentioned this in passing just the beginning of the segment about how we either need to start creating clothes that will last, that aren't like a t-shirt that all of a sudden just like the grain warps line weird. Side yeah. goes, like all of a sudden your side seam is in your belly button because the it, fabric's it so warped, shit and hasn't yeah. been cut right that it just shifts or whatever or wears out. Oh, you blow out the inner thighs of all your jeans.
Yeah, from biking. That's
from biking
happening.
Or just having fucking a body.
Yeah,
a human body.
Just having human thighs to push together.
Anyway, but also you mentioned the flip side of creating clothes that will disintegrate or are biodegradable. Mm, that's mm-hmm. another option, is like purposefully creating things that won't last, but having them,
giving them a deliberate,
giving them
shelf life,
planned obsolescence, but in an ecological way.
Ooh,
right.
Like that.
You know, cool. And there's a lot of advancements in organic fabric making. They're like weird leathers made of like mushrooms and shit. There's
and
a
like
lot of that happening.
Yeah.
Pineapple husk.
Yeah. There's some weird shit happening there where you grow it like an algae and then you can make it into a thing and then you cut it like a piece of fabric or a piece of leather and you make a thing and then, you know, it, you throw it away and with the UV lights or I don't know what the fuck. Again, no
and it
facts.
It biodegrades properly.
It actually biodegrades probably or you grow fucking daffodils with it. I don't know.
Ooh.
But that's another option. But
plant
this
a garden with your t-shirt?
But this whole like they say eco fashion week here in Vancouver and all now across the world, now they're having them where you throw out, I don't know, 100 pounds of clothing a year per person.
I think when you first did it,
it was 68
pounds.
And
now it's
80
something.
81 now.
Yeah.
It's gone up.
Within 2 years, it went up it like almost almost 20 pounds.
20% almost.
Yeah. So we need to figure out, there's another out. It could go the other way too, right? Where you purposely make, if you want to keep the fashion industry what it is, where you're always making new things and always wanting new things, plan for that.
Can I also say,
make that part of the thing.
Fucking weed, man. Legalize. Canada's
please.
On track. But hemp is, it grows like a
weed?
Weed.
Uh-huh.
It's not just a clever name. The clothing that you can make from hemp is
beautiful.
It's better than cotton in a
beautiful.
Lot of ways. And it's a natural thing. America. Fucking
get
do
on
it. Figure it out.
Jesus.
We've already come around to the bamboo.
Yes.
No, I know there's still a lot of problems
still
with potentially
problems with
bamboo.
Bamboo
and how that is manufactured and it's not as green as people like to think it is.
It's better than polyester.
But it's better than polyester.
But that's another plant that grows like crazy.
Yeah, crazy. Yes.
And that they figured out a way to make beautiful bamboo knit is beautiful.
Yeah.
It is so soft. It's so nice to wear. But anyway, so if they can do that, it's not just weird hippie shit that you can make out of hemp. You can make nice stuff out of hemp. If you make it out of linen, you can make it out of hemp. If you make it out of cotton, you can make it out of hemp.
Yep.
You can make it work.
Yep. You guys.
I just got like a really wild fabric that you'd never think could be made out of hemp.
What is it?
I can't tell you because it's part of something.
Top secret.
Ooh, but
this is where we start whispering. It's a secret.
There's a local brand here in Vancouver, Von Bon. They make kids' clothing and they have like hemp blends that are like linen kids' clothes. And they're beautiful.
Yeah. Hemp is nice. There's a cool brand. I think it's out of the States called Young Maven. JUNMAVEN.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's not the States.
Sure.
I don't know where it's from. Doesn't sound very American, but there you go. And they're a hemp brand and they have like
it's
simple,
not,
basic t-shirts. However, They're $80 for a t-shirt. So it's, I know it's not, it's not like weird, like fucking peace, love and magic bullshit. It's like, it's actually like forward thinking, eco friendly. There's a problem here that needs to be solved at some point. Here's a small way that
let's
we can
do
help,
it. Yeah.
Kind of thing. And they have, you know, just simple t-shirts. They probably have some dumb hippie shit, I'm sure, but they also have just a nice, solid, classic t-shirt.
Well, because hemp hasn't been marketed widely enough that probably only fucking hippies want it now because it's all, because people...
Well, the only people who know about it.
Like your mother-in-law or whatever, yeah. Right?
When it was outlawed for so long in the States.
200 years or
here as well, but...
Anyway... Look at us. We talked about potentially making this a few episodes. Here we are feeling like an hour already of just this.
I still have so many more ideas.
I know.
Well, so why don't we come back and we'll turn this into a multi-part episode. We'll come back to the other themes that we didn't talk about today.
Yes, because Evan didn't even touch his research that he talked about.
I did research.
We did so much research. And they didn't even use
you guys,
it.
I can't even tell you. Evan did research. This does
That's
not
fucking rare.
Happen very
it never happens. You know, like completely changing your life and just working for yourself gives you a lot more time than you think would.
Interesting. You can prioritize things differently.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Anyway, so we can talk about the marketing and the shopping and the whatever other things that we alluded to at the beginning of this episode. We can save that for another time because I also have ideas too, guys.
Yeah.
All of our engineers, listeners now, all of our HAG listeners, you all have smart friends and you are all smart yourselves. So you are all technical engineers, I'm sure that's the technical
all
word
the
for
kind of called,
right? The kind of engineer that we're looking for.
Yep.
The people who... make ideas happen in a technological way.
Capacity, sure.
Tell them to listen.
Get on up.
We have all the ideas.
Mm-hmm. And none of and the experience or facts or fall through.
But yours is
we know how to use your skills within the context of our industry.
Yes.
Which you don't know how to do within our industry.
Yes.
Because often when people who are in science technology try and get into fashion, it never It still needs to be fucking
or they don't even consider
cool and
it.
Chic
they don't even like, consider it. They go into other aspects of science and don't realize that, I don't know, potentially there's a lot.
That fashion industry is killing the planet. Yeah.
Second biggest polluter to the oil and gas industry.
Yeah.
The fashion industry globally. Cool. Cool, guys.
let's just fix that.
Woo. Cool story, guys. Well, on that note.
Down with H&M.
Yay.
Let's obsess.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yay.
Miranda for governor of New York.
Oh, man. Yes, we're back.
We just covered so much ground, as we always do.
Yeah.
We were talking
about government.
Taxes.
We were talking
business
about
licenses.
Being wiretapped.
Yes.
J. Edgar Hoover.
Facebook.
John Paul Getty. Miranda Hobbs.
Miranda Hobbs for governor. Yes, please.
Oh, my God. Woke Charlotte for governor for talking about somebody.
Oh, I love Woke
governor.
Charlotte.
Anyway. Look up Woke Charlotte. Anyway, obsessions.
Oh, man.
Well, I was able to reignite my obsession when I was in America for Trader Joe's.
Excellent work.
Specifically, cookie butter.
Oh, yes. Is this like the
Speculoos
cookie dough? Yes.
Spread. Which I know now we can get here. I can get it at Superstore here. There's a President's Choice Speculoos. It's like $4 a jar. It is 1,000% worth it. It is. Eating that on apple slices is maybe my favorite food in the entire world. And I have a lot of favorite food.
What is it called? Cookie butter?
Cookie butter.
That sounds
It looks horrible. Like peanut butter, right? Because it's that color and consistency.
But it's cookie
this
dough?
Cinnamony. But it's not cookie dough. We'll have I don't know if you've had it.
No.
Have you ever had it?
No.
I got some upstairs. We'll have a little spoonful. Easily. Like I cut up an apple. Or it's really good on a banana. Like that and banana on bread is also really good. Put it on waffles. You can like nuke it and make it a little bit liquidy. And like put it on waffles. Oh, it's good. But that like just slice up an apple. Put on like for, I don't know, like for every little bit of apple, put like four times the amount of cookie butter on it. It's real healthy.
It's a healthy snack.
It's a healthy snack.
Part of a balanced breakfast.
Totally. But it's so good. But I recently, through some American friends, discovered that they make butter cookie butter sandwiches.
You lost
So it's
me.
Like butter cookies, just like white sugar cookies with a layer of cookie butter.
Like a butter biscuit.
Yes. So it's like an Oreo, but it's a butter cookie butter.
Butter cookie butter. I just wrote it down so that I would remember it. And I was like, these are the same ones in the reverse order twice.
That might be one of the most American things I've ever heard.
I bought a box to bring home and they did not make it home because I ate them. And like I had them out on the counter at home and people kept putting them away. Because it was like all the grown-ups were just constantly cleaning up the kids' shit at the house in Palm Springs all the time. There's just crap everywhere all the time. There's a million kids and a million grown-ups. So we're all constantly just loading and unloading the dishwasher and wiping the counters and putting the food, blah, 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 blah. My brother-in-law put them away like 3 times. And I just like come back in the kitchen, take the box out, put it back on the counter, pop a few more in. And he keeps saying, oh, I just put those away. And I was like, yeah, well, I just took them out again.
Yeah, don't put them away.
Chris, jump. You see these out? Just leave them there. I will be back. I am not far away.
They're a reason.
Yes.
They are here for a reason.
So that was my...
That's a good one.
Dave became obsessed with these penguin gummies. They're like gummy bears made of penguins.
Peanuts.
As opposed to pig fat.
Delicious.
Or horse hooves or whatever they were. Anyway, there's these little penguins and Dave brought out like an easily 2 pounds worth back. Easily.
Like, they're just so good.
2 pounds.
Like 8 bags. Of like the little like... Haribo style
and they're just dad snack. They're not share snacks.
I think he's a generous dad.
Okay,
and they're penguin flavored.
But nobody gets the lime ones. The green ones are Dave's.
Oh,
you can have any other color.
What are the flavors?
So he's benevolent.
Like pink and orange and green. Snacks. I think.
I assumed it was just penguin.
Just straight up penguin. Artificial penguin flavors.
Is it like a jelly tot or like a Sour Patch Kids situation?
They're not sour,
but they have
the sugary stuff on them.
Okay.
But they're not sour.
I don't know.
They're like a jelly tot. Do you guys remember jelly tots?
Yes.
Good God, I love jelly tots. They were so hard to find. I could only ever find them when we had to visit my grandma in Vernon. Fuck, they were good. The yellow package with the little dot head people. Yes. Jelly tots.
Oh, man. So, yes, we tried to bring back, like, Dave has this, like, sweet chili sauce he liked. There was that. Freeze-dried strawberries. Another great thing, but like theirs are different. They're better than any other freeze-dried strawberry out there. I bought a couple of bags for our listener, Maddie. You're welcome, girl. But Trader Joe's, they don't fuck around. They got good stuff there. Like, and they have, I think, like 80% of their stuff is their own brand.
Right.
And then they have some other stuff.
I wonder if, they're not just in California, are they? Are they everywhere?
No, they have in Washington. I've only been to ones in Washington and California, but I know they have them all over the states.
I wonder if they have
a huge booze section.
Trader Joe's?
Yeah.
Huge booze section.
Yeah, that's...
Is it
great flowers. Beautiful flowers.
Hmm.
Produce.
Like and the dairy stuff's great. A la Joe Fresh.
Oh my God, so much kombucha. Like more kombucha than you've ever seen in your life.
I do not understand kombucha, but that's another...
There's a grape one I don't mind.
No, thank you.
But mostly because it tastes like purple. Mm. Not even grape.
I'm not a fan of purple.
I'll eat it if it's purple. Oh, anyways, that was my obsession.
That's pretty good.
Just planning to bring a bunch home and then not even making it out of the house.
Who can blame you?
That's fine. Just sit
You're only human.
Read my fashion mags. Pop and cookies.
Pulling your kid out of the pool.
What was I doing? Day drinking to deal with all my... kids. Oh. And not my in-laws. My in-laws are fantastic. I was not drinking because of them. I was drinking because of my own progeny.
Let that be made very clear.
I love my in-laws. They're a dream come true. My own fucking kids, though. Man.
Through the ringer.
You made them yourself. You can hate it if you can hate them if you want to.
Absolutely.
My mom used to always say, I put you into this world, I can take you out of it.
I love you, but I don't like you right now. I would love you forever, but I don't like you right now. I don't know how many times I've just looked at Dave and goes, I need to not be here right now. And then Dave goes, okay. I don't know what you need to do, but I need to not be here right now.
You're like, I need to go for a bike ride. And he's like, oh shit, she must be really mad.
Someone's really mad.
She hasn't been on a bike ride in 25 years. good stuff.
Oh, anyway, that's me.
Evan, you.
I inhaled this Netflix show called One Day at a Time.
Mm.
We talked a bit about it before we started the podcast. It was a show in the 70s or 80s. I think, and basically the premise is like this single mom with her two kids kind of like rebuilding her life after divorcing her husband. And then there's like the corny, like superintendent guy who like owns the building and kind of like pops in and out and becomes a part of the family. But the whole premise of the new one is this Latin American family. The parents were war veterans. The grandma lives with them, who was a refugee from Cuba in the 70s. And it's just like this amazing, humorous point of view of race and class and the life of an immigrant in the U.S.
Is it like a sitcom style?
Complete sitcom style, like sets. Like, it's like that type of show. And like, usually that's not my kind of thing outside of like Will and Grace. But
you make an exception.
I make an exception for this because it's just like, it's so aware and so humorous and funny. Like one scene in particular that I was talking about before we started was this scene where they're discussing gender pronouns. And like, just like they use humor in a way to not demean it or belittle it or make it the
make
butt
light
of the joke.
Of it or sure.
They use humor to educate, which is like the writing is so sharp. The acting is just like on point. Like everyone's just on board with the vision of the show.
Yeah. And basically, they're all executing it.
Yeah.
To perfection.
To perfection. And Rita Moreno plays the abuelita.
Sassy grandma.
So if you are a fan.
That should be enough information.
That should
for
be
right
enough. Rita Moreno of West Side Story. Fame. Academy Award winner,
yes.
Rita Moreno.
I've never heard of it. Never heard of this show.
It's kind of like,
but
in
I'm
like
not
the
up
deep,
in the, up
the deep
up.
Web of, you don't really
it's
watch
not
TV.
One, it's not one of the big Netflix shows. It's not Orange is the New Black.
No.
It's not like one of those big ones that people talk about all the time.
But it's solid.
Good
like,
to know.
Like, and it was recommended by former guest of the show, V-Fo.
The fabulous, marvelous.
Yeah, she's
V-Fo.
Like, if you don't like the first episode, just stop watching it. But you will like the show.
You're gonna like it.
And I finished all two seasons of it within a week. So
there's something to it.
Yeah. Highly recommend. It's really light
awesome.
Fare.
Is it like contemporary, like happens
oh, it's
in like 2018?
Super, like,
yeah.
The whole second season is like Trump's America.
Oh, interesting.
And they deal with
topical.
They deal with racism in the school, racism in the workplace, sexism in the workplace.
Sweet.
Just like
sweet.
It's just like, as like it's just like educating. It's like educating people without not with educating people.
It's not being preachy.
Not being preachy
sure.
Or
it's like guess what
we
on your
something.
High horse or like coming from like a super academic point of view where it's just like no one's gonna learn anything if you're making somebody feel stupid.
Sure,
you know, just like that's
very
just
cool.
Human beings are
have to check it out. And like you said, it's half an hour episode, so that's easily watchable.
Yeah,
easily.
That's consumable
yeah.
For sure.
And there's some cute. Boys. So
super extra boy. Bonus.
Yeah. The new version of the superintendent of the building is this like super good looking, fit white guy who's rich and his dad bought him the building to like give him something to do. But he has like a heart of gold and he used to have a drug problem and he like
he's
like,
getting his act
like,
together.
His storyline, like the fact that he used to have a drug problem is not like it's not a punchline. It's actually
right.
Like
he's
educating
not like a
people.
Dirtbag or a trope
yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, he's like you, they use that storyline to educate people about the ins and outs of coming out of addiction, which is
cool.
Really cool. Yeah,
sounds
you'd think
good.
On the surface the show is like super puffy and like after school drama kind of stuff, but like they like slip in the messaging.
They're secretly teaching you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a
same. Beautiful.
It's great.
It's out.
Watch it.
Whisper. Watch it.
Grab some cookies and watch it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mine is really weird.
Good.
Sure.
Mine
was a cookie, so what are you going to do?
Yours was a cookie butter cookie.
Cookie butter cookie.
Butter cookie butter. That's the one.
Yep.
I got them backwards. That can happen.
I'd still eat it.
I bet you would. okay, so across the street from where I live, without giving up too much information of my personal
specifics,
life,
sure.
There is a volleyball court that's like, it's basically two posts where you can string up a volleyball net.
You bring your own net.
And there's this group of people who come. So weird.
Please tell me they're carrying watermelons.
Oh,
imagine.
What if they were? Oh my God. My dreams have come true. I mean, we're still in the summer, so
it's early days.
Early days. So anyway, so there is this guy who has been coming for probably 3 years now, at least 2 years, like at least this year.
So that you've been paying attention.
Before that, I've been paying attention. And I think this guy is, like, my interpretation is that he is starting a volleyball cult of some kind. He is one of the strangest little dudes that I do not understand. Every time it is sunny, he is out there wearing, all the time, wearing, he has long hair, always pulled up into, like, not a top bun, not like a man bun, but like
a low bun,
like a mid head bun.
Okay.
But most of his hair is also still just draping down the back.
Okay. So he's not good at it.
He's like 4'9". He's this little dude. That's probably an exaggeration, but he's not a tall dude.
3'5". Yeah.
He wears like a baggy, like wide leg pant. Not like a sweat pant, but like sort of like a hippie linen pant, but made out of jersey sort of.
Okay.
Like, in beige.
Attractive.
Underneath a pair of long sort of cut off beige shorts.
Okay.
Also with a beige like cut off t-shirt, like a tight t-shirt that with no sleeves.
Okay.
Also in beige.
Is he from Beijing?
You know what I think he might be? I think he might be. And then usually if it's cold, if it's really cold, he'll put on a beige sweater.
Of course, yes.
And if it's not that cold, he'll put on beige sleeves. Just
like arm warmers?
So his shoulders exposed.
There's like 3 inches of skin there on the
shoulders
shoulder,
and upper
arm.
Are exposed, but like a tight
sleeve. Well, it gets hot, right? It runs
sleeve.
Hot.
And volleyball, I mean, you're hitting your forearms. I mean, maybe it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he is there all the time with a variety of different people. It is not always the same people. It's not like,
his
hey
crew.
Guys, volleyball, we're playing a game at 6:45. See everybody there. No, it's like, I honestly think there's maybe like probably 30 people.
He just has an Adam Craigslist just running all the time.
Around. But he only plays volleyball like maybe 20% of the time, maybe.
And just standing around the other part?
No,
he
brings chairs. They have like those fold up chairs. They have blankets.
Oh my God.
They have like, I just don't know.
Volleyball
what
cult.
Is the deal. We call them shorts pants because I don't really know what else to call them. Captain Volleyball, we've also thrown that on, but that one has not stuck
not
as
stuck,
well.
It's not shorts pants.
I don't, he seemingly does not have a job.
He's available at all hours.
In the neighborhood. When it's not sunny, he's not there. But when it is sunny, the second the sun comes out, he's out
there.
And so are all of these various people. Like, is he, and they seem to, he's the only constant. Like, what? What is his deal?
My first question is he a ghost that only you can see?
Oh my God, no. My friend Olivia, and Chris can see him too.
Okay.
If he's a ghost,
shorts pants
hasn't been
here
in 30 years.
But what if your apartment, and by way of the balcony, is like a portal to seeing
his dimension? Dude, but we see him, like, I'll go out over and, you know, bring a book across, or we'll go for a walk around, or go watch the sunset or whatever, and he's there. And, like, the other day we were out for a walk, and he's down there with, again, people that are all, like, bunch of girls, and none of them are that good at volleyball is the other thing. Nobody's that good.
Trade.
What is he teaching them?
Cover up.
I think it is a weird cult of some kind. I don't understand
that. Oh, God.
You should go. You should just join
Short
in
pants
one day
volleyball.
And do some, like,
I'm so curious. Like, is he going to give me a pamphlet? Is this Scientology
Figure
part
it out.
Two?
What
is this?
Will he accept you?
Don't give him your real name. Don't tell him where you live.
He already knows.
Say you live in Boca.
He already
something.
Knows.
He can sense you guys watching from the balcony.
He's
I think so.
You to come join his cult.
But he always has, like, he also always goes to the bathroom and then comes back, which makes me think maybe he's doing drugs. I don't know.
I don't know.
I've spent a bunch of time watching and I will continue. I promise.
Report back.
I don't
as
know.
The weather
what
gets
is this
nicer.
Deal? I got to get to the bottom of it.
Oh my God.
I got to say, I thoroughly enjoy it.
Oh, yes.
What is happening?
Because what?
So, I mean, I'll let you guys know what develops, but what is Schwartz Pants?
There's only more sunshine in our future, hopefully.
He's coming back. There was a guy out there when we went by the other day. Chris and I went for a walk. And there was a guy out there. This is March
10th, second week of March or something, sure.
And yes, the sun is out, but it's not warm. A geyser in just board shorts, no shirt, no pants, no shoes, nothing, just board shorts. Everybody's like in down coats. What the fuck are you doing?
That's
what
Vancouver in a nutshell.
Why? What is he teaching these people? What are they doing in the bathroom all the time?
Oh my God.
Who are they all? They are all always different and they are all like various walks of life.
Sure.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
Fascinating.
Always, always beige. And not always the same beige, usually, but always head to toe beige.
Interesting. Maybe you need to put an ad out in the paper saying,
hey, beige, what's your deal?
What is it? I see you playing fucking volleyball short pants.
Yes. Oh, I could do a, what are they called in the Georgia Street?
Yeah, I saw you.
I saw yous. Something like that, yeah.
I seen ya.
I seen yas. Hey, volleyball guy, I seen ya. I could just leave a note on the volleyball post. What's your deal?
Your note. Call me.
I could leave a little envelope with a pencil. Tell me what your deal is.
I desperately want to know.
I go back and check it.
Maybe inquiring minds. You don't have to leave your phone number or anything.
Oh, God, no.
Get a P.O. box. Leave him your address.
Get a P.O. box
in the suburbs.
Yes. Yeah, like out far, far away.
Yeah. Sunshine Coast.
Yes.
We're going to Tawasin. I got to check the mailbox.
Get some sort of random internet phone number from like Iowa.
A satellite phone. I'll get a satellite phone. Yes.
Untraceable.
It's all Skype.
We need to get a car from the 80s.
I'm going to install a phone on the tree. Volleyball thing post. Yes. Hey,
buy a burner.
Yeah, we're going to go to the gas station and we're going to get a burner phone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Get you a burner, get him a burner. You can call each other's burners.
Dude, what is your deal?
Dude.
I've got to get to the bottom of it.
Yes, inquiring minds.
The more I think about it, the more I'm like, what?
The less answers you have.
Yes.
The more you watch, the less you know.
I know. And it's only going to get nicer.
This is like some Rear Window shit.
This is some heavy Rear Window.
Oh, man.
Get the binoculars.
Oh, boy. Sitting up there in your hammock
but
with binoculars.
Who's Grace Kelly and who is...
I'm Grace Kelly.
Grace Kelly?
He's Grace Kelly.
He's always wearing the same thing.
But Grace Kelly didn't watch the whole time.
It was, his name?
You would be, you'd be great. No, what's his name?
No, what's that his name?
Him,
from
that
It's
dude.
Beautiful Life.
Him.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Jimmy
That's the guy,
Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart.
Isn't that the guy who breaks his leg?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Schwartz Pants is
I feel like Olivia would be
burying bodies.
Grace Maybe. Kelly in this moment because she comes
Maybe
in and out
broke
of the situation.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, God. Fascinating.
Well, I'm going to keep you guys posted.
You know what? We're recasting Rear Window, and you're Katharine Hepburn with a broken leg sitting in there.
Yes!
Yeah. There we go. Now we've done it.
You guys, I can't think of a better way to end this podcast.
Oh, man.
Also, I really should have peed in the break, but I didn't. I really have to go.
Okay, it's getting late.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I miss KFC.
Oh, well. Oh, you had your chance and you blew it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
My gut doesn't need a popcorn chicken poutine.
Does anyone?
I'll be popping my spins. No problem if I eat a popcorn chicken poutine.
Oh, man.
I do not know what that phrase means, but I do not want to know.
My spins.
You popping your spins? Is that good or bad?
When you pop them, like when your head pops because your core isn't strong enough to stop your head from popping out of
your head. Oh. Yeah. I thought it was like a poop joke because you ate all the popcorn chicken poutine.
That too.
He's crapping himself on the
He's pooping his pants. Popping your spins, pooping your pants, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, all the kids are saying it.
All these figure skating lingo that I'm out of the loop on.
Check your Instagram hashtags.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You can find
you
us
guys.
In all the usual spots.
Yes, yes, yes.
This was fun. FashionEggs@gmail.com, FashionEggsPodcast on Instagram, Twitter. We're not great on Twitter, but
we're on there.
We'll get there.
No.
We'll get there.
We check it.
If we're late, sorry. We all have full-time jobs.
Yeah.
But thank you guys also so much for listening. You guys are the best. And
yes.
We love hearing from you.
And truly, we're going to talk more about this topic too. So if you have any ideas of the future fashion,
yes.
Let us know.
Yes, definitely. That would be so great. We'd love to hear that.
It does not have to be based in fact, as you well know.
No! You guys.
You just need to have a lot of opinions. You need to be funny. And you need to have a couple dick jokes up your sleeve.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't hurt.
And you got to stand by them fiercely.
Yeah. Yes.
All of three of them.
Sounds dick jokes, most important.
Yeah.
That's high up there. Absolutely.
Dick jokes are just like little jabs at the patriarchy.
Yes. Fuck them.
Fuck them all with a dick, right? Is that what
that's
saying?
That's how it works, right?
Yeah. That's the thing?
Yeah.
It's a thing now.
Yeah. Okay, listen, right, rate, subscribe on iTunes.
Yay!
It's time for us to...
We have to go.
Yeah,
but we love you.
But we love fashion more.
Goodbye!
Bye! Fashion. Fashion.